I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Grant and Danny, presented by Alarm.com. Keeping you connected on what matters most. We're giving away Caps tickets in 22 or so minutes. Start of our 425 segment. Talking to Gabe Taylor, Sean's little brother, at about 525. And Santana Moss, one of Sean Taylor's best friends, ahead of his jersey retirement, coming up today at 6. I'll make it real quick before we get to the Beltway Blitz. So last night, the dog's going crazy. Dog was in the garage.
Yeah.
Just came back from a walk. It's like barking, barking, barking. I'm like, what is going on? It's trying to get into the corner of this garage, like to the point where I'm going, okay, clearly it just saw like a mouse or something. And there's like a mouse or something back there. So I move a couple little things. I don't see anything. And all I can see is a toy. We have this like squirrel toy for Fiona, where it's like this fluffy thing. It like makes a weird noise.
It makes a squeak. It's rewarding when she chomps at it.
Exactly.
They love that, yeah.
Except that it wasn't the toy. It was a real squirrel. So I pulled this thing back, and I was like, okay, go get your toy. And it was just a squirrel. And it turns out this squirrel was injured. It had, like, an injured hand or something. Ooh. So it had, like, run into our garage to take solace because the dog was being mean to it earlier. Apparently, I didn't know that. And, like, Fiona, who's never gotten a squirrel, like, gets this squirrel. It's, like, running, trying to run into the house at my feet. Then I see my dog, like, running after this squirrel and catching it in our driveway. Now, I'm trying to separate my dog from this poor squirrel. The dog is, like, trying to bite it. The squirrel is, like, trying to run at my feet because it can't get away.
Yeah.
I'm making loud noises. I have no shoes on, like, high-pitched noises, petrified, hopping around. I go back. I get a broom to try to push my dog away from the squirrel. I mean, it was a show.
That is a show. Imagine someone's looking out their window at you.
Just in my sweat shorts and, like, T-shirt, look awful. Like, I'm ready. It's late night. It's, like, the eighth inning of the Giants and the Dodgers.
Imagine the theater.
And I have no shoes on. And I'm just, like, screaming, like, Fiona, stop it. Stop. I'm, like, watching you try to end this squirrel's life. Like, immediately stop it.
What
right
was
now.
Your goal there? Just to
save
not
the
have
squirrel.
Her save the squirrel.
That's it. Save the squirrel. The squirrel was making noises like,
yeah.
And I was just like, this is the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life.
So, like, worst case scenario, let's say Fiona ends the squirrel. Now she's what I would fear is not necessarily killing the squirrel. It's a squirrel. I don't care. But it's the, like, look, Dad, I got a carcass. I have a trophy and, like, wrangle around with now a dead animal.
I didn't
animal.
Get that far. I just, like, wanted her to stop biting the squirrel in front of me.
That's what I wanted.
I wanted to save the squirrel. But the squirrel couldn't get away. So I would get
just
Fiona.
Can't move.
I would get Fiona off the squirrel, and then the squirrel would, like, start limping away, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is terrible.
How much time do they need?
Let's get to our Beltway Blitz. Start things off on the ice. In that example, the Capitals were my dog and the Rangers were the squirrel, by the way. It blew out the Rangers 5-1. J.J. Reagan, NBCSportsWashington.com, is with us. J.J., I had to tell Danny that story, so I apologize that we made you wait. But now we'll get to more important matters like hockey. Saturday night, the Lightning. We're giving away a four-pack of tickets for people in 20 minutes to go see that game. What are the Lightning, man? I can't figure them out through a couple games.
Well, first of all, how do I follow up that story? That's not fair. I did find a squirrel in my fireplace once, so that did happen, and my dog found it.
Did you squeal? Did you make a loud pitch noise when you saw it?
It was pretty shocking. It was just a bunch of growling and staring at the fireplace, and we walked over, and there's a squirrel in there, and it was quite the night. Anyway, on to hockey. Tampa Bay. It's hard to figure out what they are. For years, we've we knew there was going to be some sort of cap reckoning and they were going to lose a bunch of players. And they managed to avoid it. They avoided it. They avoided it. This year, they lost a bunch of players. They couldn't avoid it forever. So they're a little bit different. They're a high-scoring team, but there's not as much snarl there. And so far, there's not as much defense either. I mean, they were down to the lowly Detroit Red Wings by 3 goals twice and had to come back. And ultimately, they got the 7-6 win. So there's still plenty of offensive firepower there, but it doesn't look like they are as tough to play against physically or defensively as they used to be.
1972 film starring Robert Redford, Jeremiah Johnson Reagan. What did we learn about the Washington Capitals in game one?
Well, it's hard to take too many takeaways from one game. What we learned so far is that there's as much skill as there ever was. They're very skilled still. Everyone who's expecting them to just fall off the cliff, that's not going to happen. Now, maybe, you know, since they're an older team, we see them drop off over the course of the season. It's too early to tell. But for now, they're as skilled as they ever were. And we also found out that some of their young players, some of that infusion of young talent looks pretty good. Now, ultimately, Hendrix LaPierre, I don't think he's going to last too long. He looked great, but ultimately, you know, Nicholas Backstrom is going to come back at some point, and you're just not going to have the cap space or the roster space to keep him around to justify burning the first year of his entry-level contract. So, but guys like Martin Ferravari, who was on the top pair on the defense, he looked really good. So they could have something there. I think a little infusion of youth on this team definitely seems to be doing them some good.
So LaPierre's game impresses me. When you say he's not going to last, I thought you meant because of his body. You're saying just because of the financial situation with Backstrom. When Backstrom comes back, do we think that they've got enough of like the youth, the speed, the skating that people were kind of longing for that he's given them a little bit of?
Well, you got to remember, too, while Hendrix LaPierre played, Connor McMichael didn't. Connor McMichael was the first round pick the year beforehand, and he's a forward, too, and he's a center, although some people think he may be better on the wing in the NHL. But you've still got Connor McMichael. Look, if Hendrix LaPierre plays the way he did in the opener every single game, it'll be hard to justify sending him back to juniors. But when you've got Connor McMichael, who plays the same position, who can give you youth, who was great in the AHL last year, I mean, you're only going to have room for one of those guys, maybe, because the cap is so tight, because the roster space is so limited. So you're definitely not going to keep both of them around. And if one guy is already on his entry-level deal and the other one you're threatening to burn it, it makes sense to send a younger guy who's still not counting on his contract back to juniors than it is to just send Connor McMichael down to back to Hershey so that he can burn another year of his deal when he's playing the same position. So, like I said, if Hendrix LaPierre looks like that every night, well, then you may have to keep him. But if you got another guy who's also a highly touted prospect who could be just as good, then you go with that guy.
Jenny Jones Reagan, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Anytime, guys.
We'll see you, my friend. Let's talk some baseball, please. CBS Sports' RJ Anderson joins us. And RJ, thank goodness the underdog finally overcame. Those pesky Dodgers, just the upstarts with, you know, a bunch of no-names, were finally able to overthrow those evil empire-style Giants. And yes, I'm still irritated about it. What'd you make of that series?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good series. I think it's a shame that the ending of last night's game with that really bad check swing call kind of overshadowed everything, because I thought it was a pretty fun game. I thought Logan Webb continued to elevate himself on a national platform, and I'm looking forward to the series that begins tonight and tomorrow as well.
What did you think about Max Scherzer, the closer?
Oh, I mean, you know, I'm a D.C. guy, so it's not too surprising to me. You know, I saw how dominant he can be back in 2019 postseason, so... You know, I guess the only surprise is, or my only question was, you know, if he had given up a run, would he have continued on? And I guess in the back of my head, I'm saying, well, yeah, because he's going to tell him no.
How's Boston doing this? When we saw Tampa before they went on that really nice run to end the season here in Washington, they weren't terribly impressive. I think that was right before Washington's giant fire sale that landed all their good players in other cities. But, I wasn't blown away by Tampa, but still, I thought they'd beat the Red Sox, and yet here we are with yet another league championship series for Boston.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Boston is they really have a solid lineup of contributors. You know, even the guys you wouldn't necessarily expect were league average or better hitters were, like, say, Christian Arroyo and Bobby Dalback. So it's kind of like an all-around team effort. And to their credit, they were able to unearth some gems on the pitching staff. You know, it's not a great pitching staff, but Nathan Eovaldi has been out of his mind this season. And a guy like Garrett Whitlock, who they got as a Rule 5 draft pick from the Yankees, has just been dominant out of the bullpen for him.
ALCS begins tonight, 8:07 East time. Red Sox and Astros. Dusty Baker looking for his first World Series championship, trying to get there. Although Lance McCullers Jr. is not going to play in this series. He was left off the roster with an injury. He's the number one starter for Houston. That doesn't look good. NLCS begins tomorrow. Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves, who represent the NL East. Impressively enough, an NL East team got out of the division series, which is crazy. Hey, real quick, RJ, on the Nats, before we let you go. What are you expecting from them this offseason? Do you think they spend and get aggressive to compete again? Or do you think they lay low and kind of wear it next year?
You know, I assume they're going to make some mid to lower market additions. I don't think it makes any sense to completely waste another year of Juan Soto's career and team control. But I don't know if they'll necessarily be shopping at the top of the market either.
RJ, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. And stay safe, everybody.
Appreciate you, pal. There he goes. Little Washington football team, please. All righty, Darren Haynes joins us to talk about that Washington football team. Darren, I think Kansas City is going to kick the snot out of Washington. I think they need it. I think they're not a 2-3 team. I think Washington is. I think this is a bad, bad recipe, even though Kansas City's defense isn't any good. I'd like you to tell me that I'm right or that I'm wrong.
I think you are 125.2223% correct that this is going to be a competition between two of the worst defenses in the NFL. The problem is, one team you don't want to get in a shootout with is the Kansas City Chiefs. And I just don't think the Washington football team has the offense. Of course, we already know with some of the injuries that they have on their offensive side, there's no way, even if they're fully stocked, they can keep up with this Kansas City Chiefs team. So I'm going to call you Cleo because I'm going to call me now for your free reading because you already know what's going to happen. Washington's going to lose this game.
I remember those commercials like they were yesterday. Hey, Darren, what's going on with Terry McLaurin?
Well, today he was dealing with some type of hamstring issues. Ron Rivera took him out, and it's a precautionary reason. The only thing with this is let's just hope that he is ready on Sunday. Just the problem with hamstring injuries. I mean, the bread and butter of a receiver is his speed, and the hamstring is basically like taking the engine away from a car.
Yeah, when I heard hamstring in him, even though it's precautionary, like the fact that there's anything in the hamstring with him. That's petrifying to me.
Correct. Because that, like I said, that's the engine to the car. So let's hope he's ready to go. But I've had hamstring injuries, and those are things that really would tear you down, and you're not 100%. Even if you just kind of have like a little tweak in it, I still think Terry McLaurin will play. The problem is this is not an injury that you can kind of like run and kind of grind your teeth and fight it out. This is one that will literally slow down your performance.
Darren, I kind of made this thing up before the show called the Are You Kidding Me Index, right? It could be anything you want. It could be like the lowest attendance in the sport by like a magnitude of, you know, whatever number is appropriate. Ron Rivera getting mad at coaches or media members, the DEA rating the team, the emails thing, the Sean Taylor botch. Rank your Are You Kidding Me Index right now with the Washington football team. Give me your top three.
Guys. It's too much,
guys.
It's a smash hit.
Oh, man. I'll go from bottom. We'll go three to top. So for three would be the raid. Two will be the emails. And even though the emails, because of who's affected by that, should be number one, just obviously number one will be the Sean Taylor thing because of how much these fans love that guy and the Washington football team. I know they apologize, but you know, that should have never happened. They should have planned that the right way, like they did with Bobby Mitchell.
What do you think happened? Like, how do you think we got here with that?
So that's funny because I've spoken to a lot of people inside that franchise and I hope they don't lie to me, but what they told me was that they were planning it and they wanted to do it this week. They wanted to release it on Monday, but they didn't because the emails came out. But like some things just don't add up. And my thing that I said during my show yesterday was they released that Bobby Mitchell's jersey retirement was going to be in June. I mean, it was in June they announced that it would be retired and they had the ceremony in September. And so why a guy like Sean Taylor that is beloved by the city. I mean, he was more than just football. Why wouldn't you follow that same blueprint and give us a heads up on hey, we're gonna retire his jersey, so we all can plan, and so people can show up to the game.
Yeah, there's a lot that doesn't fit. I will certainly say that. They gave a lot more notice for the Coldplay concert next year than they did for something far more orders of magnitude, more important. Darren, you're the best, buddy. Always appreciate the time, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. You too.
See you, bro. It's Darren Haynes. Channel 9 does a good job not only covering the football team, but all the teams in town for WUSA TV. When you get to, as a fan, when you start to read Jason Wright's email, I think, if you take it at his face, your first thing you should say is, it's been a long time since anyone actually apologized like this in this organization. I did take that out of it.
Yeah.
They didn't used to do that. So I'll just give him right then and there some credit I don't give some of the other people.
Indeed.
But then there are things that are going to annoy you. There are things that are going to frustrate you. We knew that was going to be the case going in. Your index, though, that you just said, like ranking the index, so to speak. The number one answer has to be Sean Taylor. The reason for that is I don't think fans have been this mad, sad, angry in years and years and years about anything. Like, the DEA thing is incredible, and that's a major story, and it's nuts. I think fans, by and large, like, in one ear, out the other, whatever.
People were angry that we were discussing it, by the way. Like, this is, like, incredible news
trainer,
story.
You know what I mean? It stinks to be the guy whose house got raided in the facility. Seems to be the coach who was in the cold tub, probably, you know,
right,
or some player who's in a cold tub when someone runs in, like, and they're like, oh my God, you're here to arrest me. Like, no, I'm just here to raid your facility because we're doing an investigation into your head trainer.
Yeah, it's before they got smashed by New Orleans. So people are angry that we were even discussing it. And I'm kind of going, hey, remember this whole culture change? Remember they judge us on what we do from here on out instead of what happened before? Well, I'd like to judge you on that now. And people were angry about that. Well, then, of course, they get smashed by New Orleans. Next thing you know, people are kind of revisiting that.
If you guys want to hop in on the show, we got open lines for you on Grant and Danny. There's two things I want to throw out there. If you're going to the game and you're excited about the Taylor jersey retirement, we want to hear from you at 800-636-1067. But next, Danny, I want to talk a little football, actually. What is the best-case scenario for Washington's defense against Mahomes and the Chiefs? Like, let's say it goes as well as it possibly can. What does that look like? Nobody stops anybody in the league right now. And you got this offense that's a juggernaut against a defense that has been abysmal. If everything clicks, what is that? We'll talk best case scenario for the Washington D against Kelce, Hill, Mahomes, Reed, and the Chiefs next on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There are some people asking me what happened to the squirrel. I think it's a fair question.
It has your pizzas. No, I'm sorry.
It does not have my pizzas. It might have my pizzas. I don't know what happened to the squirrel. The squirrel hobbled away, and I kept my dog away from it by swinging a broom wildly to make sure my dog stayed away from the squirrel.
Just hit your dog with a broom.
The squirrel's not in a good and was not in good shape, and I am fearful of the squirrel's night ahead. Is there feral cats around and all kinds of things?
Some animal got it.
I don't want to think about that though. I want to think that I saved that squirrel, and that squirrel right now went home, and its squirrel parents rushed it to the squirrel hospital. And then the squirrel hospital released it this morning in a little wheelchair to get in its little squirrel car and come home to the other squirrels. That's kind of how I'm imagining
it. That sounds interesting. More likely is that one of those predators smelled blood in the air and went and tore it to pieces.
God,
and its life is in your was on you.
On me?
Yeah, you didn't take it inside. You didn't care for it.
What am I supposed? I'm supposed to take a squirrel inside?
You're supposed to love it and care for it if you care that much.
You know that when that I first again I saw. What appeared to be our squirrel toy, because I just saw, like, what was the
oh, it's a, yeah, it's
it was like
toy.
A squirrel, fluffy squirrel tail kind of thing. And I'm like, there wouldn't be a squirrel not moving, because also it just wasn't moving. I was moving things around, it wasn't moving. I'm like, well, that's just the
it
toy.
It would move if it was animate.
And I'm thinking, if there was an animal back there, it's a mouse, but this is now just this toy. And then my dog, like, paws at it, and it just jumps and runs right at my foot. And I just went like,
barefoot, man.
In the air. Just petrified, and like I just assumed at all times, if it touches my skin, I die. That was basically my
reaction.
You don't
want it on you.
It was because I didn't think it was going to bite me, but for some reason in my mind, I'm going, those things are dirty.
Yeah, do you want to be scratched by a squirrel on a Thursday?
The way I was thinking, honest to God, was if this touches my skin at all, I will die. Like that was how I kind of reacted the whole time.
I get it.
And so then the broom, I had to leave because I'm like separating the dog from the squirrel. As me, but the dog's just faster. It's like a drill, like running around a tackle to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, well, like when Rocky's trying to catch the chicken to get faster. Yeah.
The squirrel is an immobile quarterback. I want you to picture Alex Smith in 2020. And it can't get away. It can't help itself. In fact, I don't want to get too visual here because I went through this terrible and traumatic experience. Everyone else shouldn't have to live it with
me. No, I understand.
It was on its back with its arms up. Like
no.
Like, yes. Like trying
it
to
was
like,
on its back.
On its back. I swear to you. Like
Luke Thomas would comment about its guard position.
Is that what I was going to say? What is the term in MMA when you're on your back and you're like kicking up at the guy who's swinging down at you?
I think it's guard.
It was in guard.
Rear guard.
It was in naked rear guard choke.
Guard admiral choke.
That's what was happening. And it was there.
Did a Drogon on its face.
And it
face.
Was like making noises. And so I was keeping the dog away, but the dog would run around me because it had tasted.
Yeah, it tasted the blood.
Not real blood, but the metaphoric, like, you know, blood. And so it kept running around me, so I finally was like...
Is Fiona a killer?
No, not... Well, no,
is
I don't
Fiona
think
Is Fiona a little bit of a killer?
I don't think she is. She's just a French bulldog. And so then I'm like, I have to figure this out.
Are French bulldogs killers?
They're not. So then I went into my garage, and I got the broom. But in that time, that was like 30 seconds where she was just able to do whatever she wanted. It was bad. The whole thing was bad.
First story that comes up is suburban woman mauled to death by her French bulldog.
Well, that's not true.
It's the first story that comes up. I'm just telling you what came up.
I'm just telling you that's not true.
Okay. I'm just looking at what came up.
Okay. You know what else is mauled? Someone, a house cat.
Yes, they have. You don't see a house cat in the Ruya household either, do you?
French bulldogs are the sweetest. They're stubborn and they're impossible to train, but they're
second story in the United Kingdom. Animal lover savaged to death by her pet French bulldog. Savaged.
That's not correct. I'm telling you, it's made up.
Illinois woman mauled to death by her rescue French bulldog.
It didn't happen.
But look at all these stories, these French bulldogs.
I'm telling you.
Fiona's a killer.
No. I need you to relax, number one.
All right.
And number two, you're just saying things from stories that are fake. Those are fake stories.
Those are real stories.
Fake news. It's fake news.
We all know that French bulldogs are very good. They don't attack anyone. Many, many people have never... No one has seen this. This is not real.
Can you... French bulldogs are wonderful. They're terrific dogs.
These are terrific pets that sound like gorillas when they snore. These French bulldogs, he's held it. He's got a microphone. Have you heard this? It sounds so gross. They sound terrible. They can barely breathe.
All right. We got to give people Caps tickets. We said we were going to do it start of the 425 segment. Mm. This is that segment after all. So here is what we'll do. I don't want someone getting these tickets... That's just some Johnny come lately.
No, sir.
I don't want someone getting these tickets that's not going to be pumped to be representing the Grant and Danny radio program at 106.7, the fan area of the stadium in the arena. I want this to be someone that likes the show, that knows the show, that listens regularly. So here's what we're going to do. Phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. You got to tell Ryan the name of our two producers. That's what you got to do.
Who are they going to tell?
You got to tell Ryan the name of our two producers. If you can do that, you can get those tickets.
I don't know why that popped me.
Well, Ryan knows the name of the two producers.
Ryan does know.
So, who are they? Who are the two producers? Ryan deals with them every single day. He knows both of them very well. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. You want those tickets. Let's go to David in Warrington. Hey, David, how's it going?
Oh, doing well. Thanks for taking my call,
guys.
What's up, buddy? Love the show.
Thank you, pal.
So first-time caller, but so to beat this dead horse here with everything going on with the football team, basically my story is my older brother, who you can't convince that the Washington football team has been any good since the 80s, bought season tickets, okay? So basically he gave these tickets to us. I'm taking my daughter for her 15-year-old birthday. Now, I don't know how to feel about all this after everything I've heard and just the run around and just everything going on, man. It don't feel right. So that's just my thought on it. I really wanted to express that, because we're going to go to this game. And I went to the Chargers game, and it was poo water smell. And my wife's, we can't get a water. And now I'm hoping it's going to be a good experience. Sure, that'll be a letdown, but that's just my take on it, man. I'm just kind of conflicted with it and just the whole situation.
There have been a ton of complaints about the stadium experience. And I know people are working hard on it, but they ran out of food, according to a caller who called and was at the game at halftime last week at least some of the vending places they went to. I have a buddy of mine who texted me who goes to every single game, waits, he says a half hour every single week. He always sends me a picture in line, mad, getting his chicken tender basket, at halftime or whatever. Those types of things happen at a lot of stadiums, and they'll come and they'll go. You can try to fix those things if you're Jason Wright. I mean, they're just always going to pop up. You're kind of like putting tape on a hole, and then another one, the water comes out somewhere
else.
Yeah,
there's only so much you can do.
The Sean Taylor thing, though, is utterly that's avoidable. That's planning. That's an easy thing. That's a layup. It's hard to have 60,000 people at a stadium, none of whom have a complaint, none of whom have a bad story about the bathroom not being clean. It's hard for every vendor to make sure that the lines are short and everything runs efficiently, and things can go wrong, and a machine can stop working, and now that we're not taking credit cards, and everyone's going to have something to gripe about. But the really easy thing, the really simple thing, is just to take this slam dunk that is this great player having his jersey retired, where you're going to have tens of thousands of people who want to participate in this event and not screw it up royally. That would have been nice. Dickie's in Savannah. Dickie, how bad do you expect this defense to look against the Chiefs offense, or is there a way they can somehow shock us all and slow the Chiefs down?
I hope, man. All I think about is, remember when we signed Landon Collins, he wanted to wear 21 and he wanted to honor Sean Taylor, all that?
Yes, that's true.
If you want to honor Sean Taylor, you go out there and you put Mahomes up his butt three times. You show me you're not a hollow fraud, because that's all you've been all year, Landon Collins. You need to do something to honor him. I need a pick six. I need something. Someone do something, please, for the love of God. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, pal.
I fought through the terribleness of his phone because I thought it was actually a really good point. Like, if ever, Landon Collins.
Yeah, whenever you get a chance here.
Listen up, buddy. Remember when Dan Snyder gifted you one of the two jerseys that he had signed by Sean Taylor as part of the courtship to bring you here? Remember that? Remember when you went out to dinner with Dan and Bruce and this was their big deal where they were going to make sure that everybody knew that you were the Sean Taylor fan and you're the next great safety in Washington?
Remember that?
It has been ultra disappointing to this point. I would say borderline a complete disaster.
Yeah, and I'm never going to do this. Well, I'm sure I'll fall for it again. But I'm going to try really hard not to fall for the member of a secondary who was good in his former spot that signs here in Washington. Not a great track record for the folks here in Burgundy and Gold, picking off somebody's leftovers that was good somewhere else and having them come here and thrive. We got a pretty decent history of that not working out. So I'm going to try to remember this myself here. I'm trying to hold myself accountable. The next time it happens, there's a big ticket item, it's a member of the secondary. This one's going to work out. No, it won't. Don't be excited. I need to not be excited the next time they do this. There we go.
if you're going to have one game this season where you show up defensively, make it this one, please. Make it the game where the alums are all there and where they're honoring Sean Taylor, who was the most exciting, feared, physical, violent, beloved defender this team has had in the 2000s. And going back before that, I would still say arguably ever. Because when you really do think about the great players in team history, or the most beloved, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor only played 2.5 years, as amazing as he was. I mean, I don't know if that's enough time to say he was like the greatest. But in the time that he was on the field, he was one of the most special, unique, talented, athletic, all those things. He was just so big, so strong, and so fast. But if you think about the best players or the most popular players in team history, it's John Riggins. It's Joe Theismann. You know, you don't really have like violent defenders. You don't have guys that are blowing people up. Darryl Green is the guy on defense that you think of.
You start going down the list, and it's Manly and Mann, and it's Dave Butts, and it's Chris Hamburger, and
there's nobody,
you know, Monty Coleman.
Roams the middle of the field and hits people.
I mean, there were good players in that regard, but not like that. Not like Sean Taylor.
Whole different world. Can't wait to talk to his little brother, who's getting ready for a football game at Rice. Gabe Taylor is going to join us at 5:25 today on Grant and Danny, so that'll be must-listen. He gets ready for the jersey retirement as well. And Santana Moss, one of Sean's best friends on the team when he was here in Washington, 6 o'clock as we get ready to celebrate this weekend the retiring of the jersey of Sean Taylor. Confidence points picks coming your way at 6:15 on the show tonight. Want to get into some of our spotlighted players for Washington football team against the Kansas City Chiefs next on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Picks up 5, 6, 7 yards, so be it. You know, the thing you have to do is you want to make sure you prevent the big play over the top. So it's about being patient and disciplined.
Rivera talking Mahomes. Washington's defense getting ready for Kansas City. Football Friday on Grant and Danny, presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. 5:25, Sean Taylor's little brother Gabe will join the show. He's now a college safety at Rice. It'll be cool to talk with him ahead of the jersey retirement. You just heard Rivera talking about Mahomes. Let's answer the question real quick before we do a spotlight on the defense. What is the best case scenario for this defense in this game? If they give up 27 points and like 345 yards, I'd be ecstatic.
Thrilled. Spin kicks.
That would be unfathomably impressive. It's more likely that they give up 500 net and 45 points. I'm kind of banking on a 40-point game for the Chiefs. But what should we anticipate? Like, what would a good game, a good, strong, sound outing for them look like? You can't think they're going to shut the Chiefs down. They're not scoring 14 points. So what's the ceiling in this game?
Yeah, and teams don't do that, by the way. Even good defenses, like Buffalo, still give up 400 yards to the Chiefs. They turned the ball over 4 times. That was the difference, why the Chiefs only scored 20 points. Bad defenses like this one, the good defense last year or the defense that we're dealing with now. I choose to deal with the one we're dealing with now. If they give up less than 30 points, I'll be shocked. I'll be a Wichita State shocker if they give up less than 30 points at 400 yards here. Bad offenses. Offenses that can't figure out what the hell, which way is up, that don't know what they're doing, that are purposely limiting themselves, putting governors on themselves to make sure they don't go too fast, put up 30 points against this god-awful defense. This offense is the gold standard, and it's got the two best passing weapons right now are in combo, probably in the sport, when you go outside and then inside, in Hill and Kelce.
Well, and you just think about what this team struggles with defensively, which is everything.
I was going to say, you mean offenses?
There's nothing that they don't struggle with, but if you were to say, all right, design a weapon that they can't stop, it would be a tight end like Travis Kelce. A tight end who pushes the boundaries of what is the norm at that position, who gets down the field vertically, who gets in the seam and runs downfield in a way that linebackers can't keep up and DBs can't play the ball because he's so much bigger than them. I mean, the play has to be they're going to go with that Buffalo package where they use three safeties, and so it'll be maybe some Bobby McCain or some Cameron Curl on him. The problem is, as every team has found out for years going now, he's a Hall of Famer in the making, and he's one of the great tight ends we've ever seen. You need to help against Travis Kelce. If you help against Travis Kelce, it probably means Tyreek Hill's getting one-on-one opportunities.
Oh, my God.
Who's defending him?
I don't care if you double-team him.
Is William Jackson defending him? Based on what we've seen so far from William Jackson, you want that matchup? All right, so he's not going to travel, no problem. He's now one-on-one with Benjamin St. Juste on the other side. How do we feel about that? And you can bracket with a safety, but I've already got a safety allocated to Travis Kelce. So now I've got a safety I'll bracket for him, so we're using our three safety package here. You're going to play a lot of zone, I would imagine. You don't want to necessarily play man because that's when Mahomes scrambles. When you're in man and you're running behind a wide receiver and you got your back to the quarterback, you see guys break the pocket and pick up big gains all the time. And you can't blitz in this game. That's something that Jack Del Rio is going to have to address. He's been doing it all week, presumably. But you always have the numbers. I don't know where you find them. Give me the blitz percentage for the Washington football team.
Oh, fine. Give me a moment.
Year. I ask that because nobody blitzes the Chiefs. We had Alex Gold on the show from Kansas City. He mentioned this earlier today. The numbers are stunning. You don't blitz Mahomes. It's death by explosion, not paper cut. It's just a big play that you give up. You don't blitz this guy. Washington blitzes at, it's been a top five rate most of the season.
Third highest blitz rate in the NFL currently, according to Pro Football Reference. Carolina 1, Tampa Bay 2, Washington 3, 34.9% of pass rush opportunities.
Everything about this matchup is a problem. Everything. Personnel, style, the way they like to defend, the way the Chiefs pick apart the things that they like to do. Everything about it is a huge, this is going to be a really rough day kind of a look.
So, and again, this, we talk about this. I always like to use baseball analogies because it's a sport I grew up in. When Jacob deGrom, who goes around the league when he's healthy, throwing basically no-hitters almost every other time he goes out there because he's ridiculous, when he shoves it on you two, it's your turn, I don't get as mad about that as I do when some 6-plus ERA junk baller goes 6 2/3 and gives up one run during a pennant race to my favorite team. That's what drives me crazy. This Kansas City offense is going to score on everybody in the sport.
Yeah.
They score on everyone. Now you add in this powder keg of all the nonsense off the field, the, you know, even though Rivera's not saying as much at the podium, you know there's infighting. You know there's guys that are ticked off at each other. You know where the bread is supposed to be buttered of this team is the defense. Everybody's got to be borderline fed up at this point. That through five games, they're atrocious. Not just bad by their standards, bad by league standards. Despite seven of their highest nine paid players on the defense, five first-round picks within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. With all those things done, and they're down at the bottom, and now they're facing the juggernaut. Now you're facing the best offense you will face this year. A historically great offense over the last basically 6-7 years, really the last handful with Pat Mahomes in charge. This offense is the sort of gold standard for the NFL with how things are done nowadays. I can't imagine what it's going to look like.
We talk about Chase Young and Montez Sweat, John Allen, Daron Payne, and how important they are every single week, just based on where they were drafted, what they're paid, and the expectations, and how extensively they are counted upon. But this week, they are more important to the plan than they have been at any point this year, and that's not hyperbole. You can't blitz Mahomes, or you are going to get beat. And what that means is you have to win up front. And for a lot of teams, they're not good enough to do that. That's Washington's strength, theoretically. So now's the week. You guys don't get help. We're not sending linebackers in the A-gap. DBs aren't coming off the edge. There's no dogs with a fifth guy or blitzes with a sixth guy. Maybe they'll use a five-man front like they've been doing with the two linebackers. So I guess you could rush five in those situations.
You a 5-1-5? I don't know, man.
You got to get home without the blitz. Kevin's in Centerville, wants to hop in. Kevin, how are you, pal?
I've been better, boys. Well, let me first off start by saying you're absolutely on track with thinking this is going to be a rough matchup. Think about how easily the Saints took the top off of that defense. Now think about the fact that you have Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, two of the fastest wide receivers in the league, on either side of the field. It's not going to be pretty. I expect that defense to get mollywopped this weekend.
They gave up 72 and 49-yard touchdowns this past week. And Rivera yesterday, you just heard the cut, but his comment at the podium was basically, you can't give up anything over the top. They've been doing it every single week. They give up stuff over the top all the time, Kevin.
Well, and good luck underneath if you try to play back, because as you said, you're going to have Travis Kelce just running over all over the middle of the field all day. But So, first off, I'm a Ravens fan, so like this, it's a step removed maybe from me, but like I've grown up in this area. In 2007, I was a sophomore in high school in Mount Vernon when Sean Taylor passed, and it still really affected me. That was when I really first started to get into football, and he was an incredible player to watch. Obviously, as you said, a beloved figure here in this town, and to see that like, this isn't just a situation where they've screwed this up now. They've screwed up Sean Taylor's memory on multiple occasions. I don't know if you guys remember the Sean Taylor plush incident debacle thing that happened. If you don't, Google it. They greenlit a plush in the likeness of Sean Taylor, which is like really bad. Like, it sounds bad now. If you Google it and you look at it, it's awful. And they don't learn. That's why this issue is so big, is what it is. Like, it's not even just that they can't read the room, it's that they can't learn from when they do screw up. And like, it's appalling to me to think like how beloved a player Sean Taylor was, how beloved a figure he is in town, and for them to continue doing this over and over again. There is a clip from SpongeBob where Mr. Krabs is digging up a grave and he says, "Am I really going to defile this grave for money? Of course I am. That's Dan Snyder."
Of course I am. Mm. Yeah, I mean, and you get to say these things, and you get to speculate like you are. I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong, but it's all available and on the table because of the track record. Like, when a cop pulls you over, and they say, "You know what? You know, I pulled you over," and you say, "I don't." And they say, "You were speeding." And you go to court, and the judge looks at you and say, "You know, you got 5 speeding tickets."
Yeah, they run your license registration. A bunch of little things pop up.
But you go to court and you go, I promise I wasn't speeding that time. Maybe you weren't. But the judge looks down and goes, "You got 5 tickets within that month." Like, that all matters.
Yeah.
Dan Snyder's history matters. And to say that it's unfair to assume, it's not unfair to assume anything. You can assume whatever you want. It's on the table because they've done awful things in the spirit of distraction in the past. They've done ridiculously dumb things from a business standpoint in the past. And I know that it's a different group, and we're trying to give them every opportunity to have the benefit of the doubt and to try to thrive and succeed. But this was brutal. This was bad. They have to wear that. And to their credit, they apologized, and to some extent they are. But it doesn't change the fact that this great thing that should have been the most exciting day for the franchise this season and for several seasons is actually now very a negative. It's lit in a way that is going to, I think, be more painful for people than it is a positive.
I want to ask, how do you actually think it's going to sound and be like?
It's going to be awesome.
On Sunday. Because what I get the sense that people want to do is selectively channel the cheers in the right direction where they should go and deserve to go, to the surviving members of Sean Taylor's family.
Yeah.
And then somehow still express profound displeasure at the organization.
It's not time and place. I mean, it's just not. When his family's out on the field being introduced or whatever.
Nobody's going to boo. That's not what I'm saying.
Right. But
how
do you do both of the things?
I don't know. People don't know what to do with themselves. And the team put them in that position.
Here's what they should do is cheer, obviously, for Sean Taylor's family and throughout that entire event. I don't know when you don't. I don't know what the recourse is otherwise. I don't know if you leave after halftime when the ceremony's over. But I think it's going to be a really cool thing in-house for the people that are there. I feel bad for the people that aren't. You know, and this is one of those things, too, where Jason Wright and the team said, you know, you can watch our stream on all of our social channels. And that feels cringy to me. Not that, like, what is he supposed to do?
Yeah, I don't know
what
he's supposed to do.
You can't watch it?
Yeah.
No, you want people to be able to watch it. But that now it's a promotion for your social channels, and the people that can't go can actually watch. You just have to log on to .com or this Twitter account or watch our Periscope or whatever. I'm not saying there's anything he could have done that would have worked better, but the whole thing just doesn't feel right.
No.
We'll ask Gabe Taylor, the brother of Sean Taylor, younger brother, playing safety in college right now at Rice when he joins the show at 5:25 about the ceremony. Our 5 at 5 is next. 5 storylines for the Washington football team and the Kansas City Chiefs. You are listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.